coming out like the Patriots. We're not coming out to the firm. What was that?
Really?
Bittersweet Symphony? I guess Bittersweet was a little bit inappropriate.
Yeah, a little bit. Foreshadow much?
Symbols. Wait, Randy Rhoads.
Our love with all the hate.
Crazy, but that's how it goes.
Talk about Pete Carroll.
Millions of people living as foes. Maybe.
It's Wednesday, February 4th, 2015, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted, and we are... Super Bowl hangover, but it still feels pretty good to live in New England.
Right? Yeah, wow. I mean, where to begin, man? That was a heck of a game. All of New England is rejoicing. Parade is today.
Parade
is today, yeah. Through 4 feet of snow. That's how us New Englanders do it. All right.
Right.
And now we put the duck boats through the blizzard.
So all right. So you ready for this one? So there's been.
I'm ready for lots of things.
So in 14 years. There has been 9 championships.
Yep.
11 championship games.
Yep.
And 20 times our teams have made it to the Final Four.
You counted the Celtics.
Celtics, Bruins, Sox, Patriots, Red Sox. Yep. 20 times in the last 14 years, our teams have made it to the Final Four.
That's insane. No wonder people hate us.
What an embarrassment of riches. That's a great way to
anybody
start.
Wonders why, and maybe you're sitting there wondering yourself, why do we hate the Patriots? Why do we hate the Sox? Why do we hate New England? And because we're a bunch of winners. Title Town is actually Title Region.
It's Title Region. And you know, so the parade's today, not allowed to stand on snowbanks.
Where else are you going to stand? Who was Mr. Banks?
So there, that's Snowy Banks. Don't stand on her. She's a porn star. So, yeah, so no standing on snowbanks at all.
Yeah.
The cops are going to get you off of the snowbanks over here. The crew. So, but you got to think, right? There's going to be a lot of 8, 9, 10-year-old kids who weren't alive to see the last championship. By the way, if you're...
Yeah, it must be tough for them.
Right?
A long-suffering young
the
fandom.
The long-suffering fans, like, it's been...
They'll never know what we had to go through.
The months of turmoil since the last championship.
Yeah, it must be tough.
The months of waiting.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let any of these people stand on snowbanks at all. So I'm just waiting for the first
dangerous
duck boat incident. They're all going to, you're standing in the street. The mayor said stand in the streets. So
that's better than dancing in the street.
You know what? That might be a good little
lead into the next one.
So let's start with the Super Bowl, man.
Let's
begin with the recap.
Obviously, the only reason they won this game is because they're a bunch of cheaters. Am I right? Am I right, people? New England's a bunch of... They had the balls under, like, marine protection, right?
And actually, interestingly enough, not only are they not cheaters, they were able to... Let's see... They were able to expose, I didn't say, you know, lay out a blueprint or anything, but able to expose.
They exposed a way to be able to beat Seattle's defense.
Yep.
Absolutely. Or have success against.
Have success against.
Because they could have lost that game. But they also could have won that by a couple of touchdowns, and I'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, and so where we should start today, I think, is let's start at the end. Let's begin
all
at
right.
the end.
Tom Brady, MVP. Third Super Bowl MVP.
And
only other quarterback to do that.
But if I was Kevin Durant and I'm crying, who the real MVP is?
Malcolm Butler, who by the way got the truck.
Yeah,
Mr. Golden Boy, Mr. Tom Brady gave him the truck.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, where's he going to park it next to his Lambo and his Maserati? I don't think it'll fit.
Brady was going to keep the truck, but Butler jumped in front of it, intercepted it. And then took it back from him.
Nice.
Yeah, picked it up.
I like that too.
But Butler got it. But so Tom Brady, MVP,
yeah.
Third time, only other guy.
What was it? 328, 4 touchdowns, 37 for 50.
37 for
Not
50.
Not a bad freaking game, man.
14 out of 16 with 2 touchdowns and 125 yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 8 for 8 in that touchdown drive. 8 for 8,
65
yeah.
yards. And when you talk about money... That's money.
So how could he do that with properly inflated balls? I thought he could only win because he used smaller balls.
Well, hold on, Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Hold on. Because I don't think.
Because all I do is catch touchdown passes. And I know the difference. I've caught a lot of them in my life.
Wait, hold on, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Have a duba duba, Alba.
So let's talk about the game here. So in the game, obviously, we don't need to do necessarily a full recap, but you watched that first half. And I have to give Seattle credit for the balls.
Yep.
To not only...
No pun intended.
Well, maybe intended. But the balls to go for a touchdown.
Yes.
On the last play of that of the first quarter.
Absolutely.
30 seconds, they were able to put a drive together in under 30 seconds.
Yep. Against the Patriots defense, which is nothing to sneeze at.
Definitely
not. They're not soft by any means.
And they had, until that drive began, until 5 or 6 minutes into the second...
Really shutting them down, only gave up that touchdown.
Yep. And so Russell Wilson throws a touchdown pass.
Nice pass.
Two seconds left in the first half. They score. They tie the score. They immediately come out.
And they get the ball back at the start of the half.
Exactly. Immediately come out. They get a 3-point lead. They end up with a 10-point lead.
Yep. At which point, Mr. Sherman there was doing his little 24 on the camera.
You know what? But this is where the game...
He was pretty hyped up.
But now, at the exact same time that you saw Richard Sherman doing the 24, Doug Baldwin was doing a little number 2.
Yeah, because the camera went off him, and I appreciate that, because nobody needs to see that ridiculousness.
All right.
Like, we're not talking about T.O., you know, getting a phone out of the padding at the goalpost and making a call, or pretending to... Oh, actually, the pen, that's what it was.
Joe Horn did the telephone.
Yeah, that's right. He did the pen, signed the autograph.
Yeah.
That's all fun and games. You know, you're needling your opponent, you're making it flashy.
Randy Moss moves.
I like it. Yeah. I kind of like that. But what was the point of that? Please tell me. What was the sense of that? What was he trying to say?
What we're trying to say here is, if you haven't seen it, haven't heard the story, apparently Doug Baldwin, and I don't even want, how do you say it, simulated mind, whatever, dropping a deuce
on the field.
On the football.
Yeah. On the football, okay. Yeah,
on the ball.
Was he deucing the football? I didn't see it.
Yeah, whatever it was. It looked like he was...
He was taking a shit on the Patriots.
He was growing a tail. He later said that he was directing that at
Sharts.
A group of individuals.
And what individuals were these?
He didn't elaborate, thankfully, I guess. But
mom, dad, and their kids?
Oh, I don't know. But hey, way to do Stanford proud.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
yeah. Proud Stanford alumni, Tiger Woods, Andrew Luck, and Mr. Double Deuce himself,
yeah,
Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
Really, Doug Baldwin?
Now, I think just as a side, because a lot of you will say, oh, Richard Sherman played for Stanford.
He did.
Well, he actually represents them pretty damn well.
One of the things that I'm starting to notice here, and this is why I'm kind of going in this direction, as Richard Sherman is showing the 24, whether he's either pointing out 24 being Darrell Revis' number or the 24 points that are put up on the board. Now,
he was probably doing both.
I think he was doing both. I didn't make the connection, but
yeah, I'm sure.
I first saw it, my initial reaction was that he was pointing at the scoreboard.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, but a lot of people had said right off the top that he was doing 24. We scored a touchdown on 24. All right? So,
see, but I don't think that's... I mean, if he did it as a double meaning, fine. Scoreboard, fine. I don't think he was doing it directly at Revis, because him as an elite quarterback knows that every cornerback gives up touchdowns. Do you see what I'm saying? So it wouldn't make any sense to direct it just at, hey, we scored on 24. Well, how many people scored on you this year? People have scored on you. So
yeah, but again, it's kind of one of those things, like the conversation of who's better, 1 and 2, and all of that other stuff. And
I mean, Richard Sherman's better. He's younger. He's faster. Revis is obviously right up there too.
He's
on his way out. Well, he's on his way in.
He and Revis had a... I don't think Revis is on his way anywhere. He's 29 years old. And
wow, why does he seem so much older than
because
that?
He's been in the league for a long time, and he's been successful in the league for a long time.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, but Revis isn't even 30.
Okay.
So,
all right, I stand corrected.
Yeah, so Revis isn't going anywhere.
Oh, he's got a lot more time left.
He does.
He's got maybe at least
3-4 years. Yeah. And he's due another good contract.
Yes, he is.
Now, so if you... I don't know if you know this, but they actually had, and I feel embarrassed as an adult saying these words, a Twitter war when he was on the Jets.
Yes.
All right. So, and he's had that same thing with Patrick Peterson.
And he had an awful year last year with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And no, that was somebody else.
That was somebody else. Yeah, but he's had that same problem
Tampa
with Patrick
Bay,
Peterson. So,
another great corner.
Another great corner.
Up and comer.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't even start on our team. Da, 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 da. So there's been all of these things with Richard Sherman. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Okay.
So I can see why people would say it.
Sure. But my first thing was the scoreboard.
Me too. But if you're looking at him doing that, you kind of expect it out of Sherman.
And as a matter of fact, he didn't even really go over the top. A lot of times, if you think about that, and times that you've watched football, even on non-important games, when you get that sideline guy after a touchdown, he's usually doing something. We're number one. We're best. Look at this. Look at that. That wasn't even really that bad. I didn't really give it a second thought.
No, because it was Sherman, you kind of didn't give it a second thought.
Okay. Yeah, they scored a touchdown. You know what? They're in a position to win this game.
But now we're looking at that, the 24 thing. Now we're seeing a Doug Baldwin in the most classless, crass, disgusting.
It was dirty, man. It was only, vulgar.
Yeah, and the only thing that I can really kind of like say that like is maybe on par with that is if you had a running back who every time he scored a touchdown throughout the month of December grabbed his dick.
I would like to say this, although I've told you I'm a fan of Lynch, but I don't like that. I don't like it. I mean, you're not 12.
Yeah.
You're not 12. Yeah. You're pretty much telling everybody in the stadium and on the field to
Gotcha.
Put your mouth on it.
Yeah.
This was worse. I find this more disgusting and more disturbing.
Obviously.
Than that. And you know, I see him do that and I'm like, come on, dude.
On the biggest stage on
ridiculous.
The planet.
Are you serious, man?
On the biggest stage on the planet. This was the
most... Marshawn didn't grab his junk when he scored that touchdown.
No, and by the way, this was officially the most watched television event in American
Period.
History.
Television ever. Show ever. Ever.
This beat Alex Haley's
roots. We called that. We saw this coming. You know, people can crap on the Patriots all they want, but people wanted this. People wanted this matchup.
They did.
And they got it, and people came out and they watched it.
Yeah, and so then...
Did not disappoint.
So we have that, and we have Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, and if you know what, go back, and if you get a chance to watch the 30 for 30, if you weren't old enough, but I am old enough to remember the U, okay?
Yeah.
And
seeing
Jimmy Johnson's University of Miami.
Yeah, I actually had a more appreciation for that team and the players when I watched the 30 for 30, and it made more sense to me. When I was young and that was happening, I couldn't stand them. I hated them. Punks, thugs. Trash talkers didn't like him.
Okay.
After I watched that 30 for 30, definitely changed my view.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that.
Yeah. That now, was by design. And to me, that is smart. Kind of like when I watched the about the Pistons and Bill Laimbeer.
I still hate Bill Laimbeer.
I do.
Punch
but,
him in the throat if I could reach
But after
it.
Watching more into it, I was like, that's genius. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he was doing. He'd come off the bench and be like, all right, I pissed him off. Now you guys can go win.
Yeah.
they all hate me now. You guys can go take
My
over.
My work is done here.
Yeah, and I always thought that was brilliant. And the same thing with the U.
Now, that's what I'm... And the reason why I'm bringing up the University of Miami Hurricanes from the 80s is...
Who else represents the U, by the way?
We'll
talk about that in a little bit.
Hmm.
We'll
You're sapping the knowledge right out of me. I can't. Oh.
Or is it slapping? Because
goodness gracious,
we'll get
me.
To that. In
we
a second.
Will.
All right, go
we
ahead.
Will. But the reason why I'm bringing them up in sort of an analogy is they sort of made that like fun. Like they kind of had like an element of like they were going to go out there and they knew they were going to beat you and all that other stuff. But there was almost an element where they didn't necessarily fully like they didn't disrespect. The game.
No.
Okay. Then now disrespecting your opponent is one thing, but when you straight up disrespect the game, all right, I got a problem with that.
Yep.
And I started to get the feeling that I was starting to watch a team that disrespects the game of football. Some players.
Say it. Thank you. Okay.
Some players.
We had this talk the other night.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
some
right.
players.
Russell Wilson is
Absolutely.
A guy who respects the game of football.
Absolutely.
And cares
and Cam,
about this
Cam
game.
Cam Chancellor.
Yes.
You know, even Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas.
Very stand-up guys. And
I want Earl Thomas on my football team
And apparently
team
Marshawn Lynch is one of the greatest teammates on the planet, apparently, from
I wouldn't
all,
doubt
all reports.
But when you're out there and you talk about, like, I work for this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, talking about the NFL as if you're a slave to the NFL.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That doesn't go down well with me.
Yeah, that just doesn't sit well.
No.
And Doug Baldwin, you're a pariah now. And I'm so glad that you have to live with this anguish of losing the game like that. I just
And
wish,
the picture of you dumping on the field.
Yeah, like I hope one day, like that. I hope you never get back to this game. And I hope one day your grandchildren are asking you about this picture and you have to explain it. And like oh.
Yeah, no, exactly. Explain to your grandson.
Yeah.
Or granddaughter why you took a dump on the field
during the Super Bowl game and lost. When you played against Tom Brady. And
lost.
Yeah. And that's like, so then we get to the end of the game after Butler makes the interception. And how do they react? How does Irvin react? Number 51 starts throwing haymakers.
Yep.
And really?
And Gronkowski, and I got to appreciate him for his honesty. He tells Kimmel, he's like, you know what? They want to start something, last play of the Super Bowl? Yeah, I'm throwing haymakers too.
Yeah, because
it's absolutely.
And why? Because it's the last play of the Super Bowl and he didn't start it.
Yep, exactly.
And, see, that's the thing, like where when I watch, we were at the AFC Championship game. And I'm watching the game and I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I love Andrew Luck. Like
class act.
I love T.Y. Hilton.
Do you know his views on Belghazi?
No.
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what DeQuell Jackson's are? I have absolutely no idea what anybody's talking about. I couldn't tell the difference. I
didn't give a shit.
But and DeQuell Jackson's were everybody
was making out DeQuell Jackson to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, the finger pointed. It was him.
Interestingly enough, by the way.
He just wanted to keep the ball.
I think the vice president of the NFL told 60 Minute Sports that it was, in fact, the GM of the Colts that told them to check the footballs.
Who was told by John Harbaugh.
Well, you know, it's interesting. John Harbaugh was vehemently denied it on the pregame show.
Was he going to admit it?
Of course.
Okay, maybe it was one of his guys then.
Yeah.
Maybe Harbaugh didn't dial the number.
Yeah.
Maybe his secretary got him on speaker. I didn't touch that phone.
I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything. But I got this feeling that, like, you know, I got this thing about the I was watching the game and I was like, oh, man, Seattle's, like, showing up. And, like, what an awesome team.
Yep.
When Lane had that pick.
Yep.
And he broke his arm, and I'm like, that was
disgusting.
And I'm sitting there going, like, that my first reaction as a fan of the game of football was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
My first words out of my mouth were, that sucks
for him.
Like, for this guy, this guy's... And
that's somebody that respects the game, understands the game, and loves it for what it is, that has that reaction.
Dude, that was the dude that Gronk's not that good.
No, I mean, talk about you.
Oh,
having
that
reaction. Like, because every other Tom, Dick, and asshole, excuse my language, is like, good.
Yeah, it's like, oh, good, get him out of the game. No. You want that guy in there because you want it. Like, that's their best. Like,
exactly.
You don't like.
You want to go up against the best. When you ask the greatest, they want to go up against the greatest.
Yeah, like, I want that guy in the game. Like, absolutely. I want Richard Sherman out there.
Absolutely.
I want Richard Sherman, like, injured or whatever.
No way in heck.
Like, I want Cam Chancellor out there, like, lighting it up because that's what I paid to see.
That's football, man. That's
what you want to see. Now, injuries are also part of the game.
Right.
And so they're going to happen. And I thought the Patriots did a good job actually taking advantage of that kid Simon that came in. They picked on that kid bad in the second half.
Yeah.
When the Patriots came out in the second half and needed to score those two touchdowns, that was the kid they went after.
Yep.
Couple of things about the way the Patriots approached Richard Sherman. First quarter, they had that one catch or whatever. I was reading a couple of things on the Seahawks subreddit. Somebody brought up the fact that, just like Aaron Rodgers didn't go after Richard Sherman in week one, the Patriots didn't go after him either.
So is that another excuse? I mean,
interesting that you would say that.
I mean, really, like, I don't understand the mentality of these people that care enough and are invested in the game enough to actually go out of the way to make comments in subreddits and Facebook, anything, but yet don't have enough common sense or knowledge to understand that game that they're supposedly talking about.
See,
I get it, man.
You know, I saw one guy, like, when there was a conversation going on, some comment thread between Seahawks and Patriots fans, and the Patriots fans were saying to Seahawks fans, like, oh, don't worry, your jerseys have a 15-day return policy. Like, you know, like, you guys just got on this. I don't see one Dilfer jersey. I don't see one Sean Alexander jersey. I don't see one Steve Largent jersey. I don't see one Dave Craig jersey. Like, going back to... I don't see one Bosworth jersey.
Yeah.
Like, show me one thing.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, and not even that the Patriots necessarily.
Some fierce, loyal fans. Believe me, I lived out there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You got your you know, the people that have been in it forever and have gone through the disappointment.
Sure.
Yeah, and gone through the disappointment and gone through the trials and tribulations and the new stadium and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right. Then you got a very, very large amount of what we refer to as pink hats.
Now, if you're not from around here,
wearing all the Marshawn Lynch jerseys and Russell Wilson jerseys.
If you're not from around here, what a pink hat is when
it's not a female fan. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, a pink hat is a generalization in the New England sports region where around the 2003-2004 season, it was basically the Johnny Damon fans. It started as the women who were showing up at Fenway, buying up all the tickets that we used to buy for
$5.
Exactly,
and buying these pink hats that show no Sox colors at all.
Except they had the B on them.
Yeah.
And they would show up at the games, and they were buying up all of our tickets, and we were mad. Yep. I don't care if any, you know what, you want to
get on the bandwagon? More fans are better, absolutely. More fans are better, absolutely.
Because we can sign more players if we have more money in the organization. Yep. It's always a big deal. But now I got to spend $200 to go to a game when I used to spend 40, and that was with Bears and
without the knowledge and the background of your team, all of a sudden just pretending that you're this fanatic.
Yeah.
And you really don't know what's going on.
Oh, dude. And that's sort of the thing that kind of gets me is like, you know, I got to give Mrs. Coach a little bit of credit. My wife's obviously a sports fan, but knows what she doesn't know. And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And about, Kevin Youkilis was being around here. About 3 years after Youkilis was signed, we were at a game down at Camden Yard because it was actually at that time it was cheaper to go to Camden Yard in Baltimore than it was to go to
Fenway. Still is.
So we would go for like three games.
Absolutely.
And the first time Youkilis batted in the first game we were there, everybody went, Yuk.
Yeah, she thought they were booing him.
Yuk. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh, for the whole last 2 years, I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, see.
Because on the TV, that's all you hear. It sounds like boos.
And she went, I just didn't want to sound stupid. I was like, I love you.
Yeah. Either ask or keep your mouth shut.
Now, I'm sorry, but back to the game. Ask or keep your mouth shut. We're making T-shirts. Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Ask or keep your mouth shut.
Either ask or keep your mouth shut.
I like that.
I like that. We just trademarked it.
Yep.
But I just didn't like how I started to warm up to the Seahawks.
Yep.
I started to see this team disrespecting their opponent, disrespecting the game, and then you explained to me on that final drive after an incomplete pass. All right, everybody talks about the final play. Why didn't they run Marshawn Lynch?
Yep.
Great question.
Yep.
I have a couple of stats on that. But first, incomplete pass, you got to call a timeout?
No.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. The circus catch?
Yep.
By Curse down there, they had to call a timeout on that.
Yep.
Instead of running down, snapping the ball real quick, and then they could have called their read option.
It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it, though, because they still had the timeout that they needed. It doesn't matter. It didn't just start on that last play. You're right. And it's a pattern. Just like Butler didn't just make that interception, the play before that, the two linebackers who stopped Marshawn Lynch from scoring.
Yeah, on the one.
If they don't do that, that's easier said than done. They'd be like, oh, they just went. No, they tackled the toughest runner in the NFL to bring down a yard before pay dirt.
Yes.
Now, can you understand the determination and what Lynch had when first contact was made?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of people that are going to stop him. No. They made that happen. Nobody's talking about that play.
No. Now it's interesting that you say nobody's talking about that play because that seems to
be a lot of things that nobody's talking
about. A lot of things.
That's why we're here. It's true.
And seriously, take an hour and be a better sports fan.
That's it.
Come sit with Eric and Ted in the Ice Cream Social and we'll talk about the things that you need to know about.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I think we should get into that after a short break.
All right, and with that, Eric and I are going to take a quick break. We're going to be back, and we're going to talk to you about five or six things that you need to know, and I'm going to come back with some surprising statistics about that last play, what should have been called, what might have been called, and why that last play might not have been the craziest damn thing that you ever saw. So stick around. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at EricAndTedICS.
And our website, EricAndTed.com.
Facebook.com/EricAndTed.
And go to iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, and subscribe.
Let's go. and you're, wow, that was an abrupt end. That was sudden. Oh my God.
Kind of like that interception.
Oh my God, it's
over. Mike's on, sir.
So, yeah, now I wanted to make sure that, and I'm glad we're back, but I wanted to make sure I came up with a couple of good statistics for you about that play. Now, what was your reaction when that play happened? Just what was your gut feeling right away?
Honestly?
And as a Seahawks fan.
Honestly?
Yeah.
What a hell of an interception.
Thank you so much.
That was my first. When he was in shotgun, I wasn't screaming, oh my God, what are you doing? I mean, could they have run it four times in a row? Absolutely. If I was the coach, is that what I would do? Probably. If I was to pass, I would do a play action at least. There's things I would have done differently. But no, that my first reaction wasn't, oh my God, they're passing the ball. It was, oh my God, he picked that ball off.
It was a gorgeous play. And there's a little bit of background on that we should talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. So
preparedness.
Preparedness. It turns out, and we alluded to this a little bit earlier, and we know that people talk a lot about the fact that Pete Carroll has a tendency to be a little bit more of a cheerleader than anything.
Rah-rah, coach.
Okay.
It has its place.
It does have its place. And with that young group.
Sure.
Particularly when they were coming up.
Letting them be themselves.
He quarterized that group. Exactly. He solidified that group.
Yes, he did.
He's got his guy. Remember, they had Matt Flynn at $12 million a year come in.
Yep.
And
I loved that move because a lot of coaches don't make that move because of the money. Well, we just paid this guy this. That doesn't mean it's a better football decision. He made a football decision by starting Russell Wilson, and even the Seahawks faithful were not on board with it. I was on board with it.
Ownership was on board with it, too.
And that's a big thing, too.
And taking this 5'11 kid out of Wisconsin. Yep.
And dealing with the backlash.
All of that stuff. What are you doing?
You know, you got Flynn. What the blah, blah, blah.
And now he's not. Now he makes a mistake there. He's coaching Rutgers. You know, he makes a mistake.
Oh, cool. Oh my God.
He's coaching, the Rutgers, whatever. He's coaching Miami of Ohio. He's not going back to USC because he had to shoot his way out of town there.
Yep.
And you know how much I loathe that whole thing.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do.
He seemed totally unprepared at the end of that game.
Mismanagement overall. Again, it's not the last play. It's everything preceding.
It's all the stuff that led up to it.
Yep.
Now, they also didn't seem to have the answer for what the Patriots decided to do. When Stephen Ridley has 11 catches for 64 yards, you can say, oh, well, it was 11 catches for only 64 yards.
It's a pretty good game.
That's not bad. You had 11 catches. When you have Julian Edelman.
I didn't even notice him.
Apparently, nobody in the secondary did either. You had Julian Edelman with a massive day, who should have been the MVP as far as I was concerned, other than the fact that fourth quarter for Brady.
That's pretty much what sealed it. You know, you go 37 for 50, but, you know, 14 of 16, or was it 16?
It was 14 for 16 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter. I mean,
and 8 for 8 on that drive.
Of course.
So when the chips were down, you could rely on Brady there. But who did Brady rely on?
Amendola
got it done, too. And Gronk.
And Gronkowski.
Just money. Just money. So
and Vereen got in the action a little bit.
Our favorite, Ben Vereen.
Yeah, Ben Vereen is actually a second cousin of Ben Vereen.
No.
Yeah.
Is he really?
He is related to Ben Vereen. We've been calling him Ben for a while.
We have. Yeah. It's, you know, one of our, you know, soft shoe routines.
Yes, it is. Ha-cha. Ha-cha-cha.
So,
racist?
No. Our appreciation for Ben Vereen and Gregory Hines.
Good.
Yeah. Gregory Hines Ward.
Big fan.
So, going into this final drive, Patriots score. They go ahead by four. We know that Russell Wilson needs to drive down the field to put this thing away and to go ahead. They have 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Which is
way too much time.
By the way, and he busted off a 31-yard pass to Marshawn Lynch.
Which
before the 2 minute warning even occurred,
and
so,
first time in the game they line up Marshawn Lynch as a wide receiver all the way on the outside.
Yep, they held onto that play.
Jamie Collins has to go out to cover him. Marshawn Lynch makes a gorgeous instep
inside.
Yeah, right. He makes this inside move, and Collins has to bite to the inside because he's playing him with inside shade.
Yep,
and then Lynch keeps it to the outside, stays on the outside hash, and then
lets him float it up. Perfectly placed ball. What are you going
to
do?
And one of the things about Russell Wilson is it is virtually impossible to defend his passes. You keep seeing them.
It's a lot of air under him when he does those passes.
Honest to God, he put so much air under it. It doesn't matter how.
Only one person is getting it. It's either his guy or nobody.
Or nobody. Yep. And there was a couple of drops in that game that he had that, boy, if they don't drop him, you know, this game goes a different direction. And that's everybody's going to drop a ball. This is not
and a lot of ifs and whats and buts. And Tom Brady, if he didn't throw that interception when he's near the red zone,
of course,
you know, they score a touchdown out of that. That's a 14-point swing.
These things level them way off.
Right.
All right. So he makes this 31-yard play, and then there's an incompletion. They have to call the timeout and all this lack of preparedness.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why did they have to call a timeout?
Because they didn't have
because they didn't know what play they were going to run.
They didn't know what they were going to do.
Yep.
And this is what is killing me. Like, did they not expect that they would need a 2-minute drill? Did they not have?
They did.
Well, but then how do you not manage the clock like that?
I don't know. I have no answer for that.
This is the thing as a Seahawks fan I would be angry about. Not the final play call. Yeah. Not the throw in that bell or whatever, bell of the offensive coordinator, throwing the receiver under the bus for not making aggressive enough move. That guy got stacked. Like
there was nothing he could do.
Nothing.
He was done. That was all Butler.
And we'll get to that.
That wasn't even a give me interception. That was all Butler.
And we'll get to that in a half a second. But all of this lack of preparedness, did they not know that they were going to have a 2-minute drill at some point that would be important? Did they not have their 2-minute drill ready to go? Did they? What he could have run up and spiked the ball if he needed to. It was
you know what? Maybe we say the term embarrassment of riches. Maybe he felt he could afford it. Technically, they did. Technically, they could afford it because they were left with one.
Would you have felt a little better as a Seahawks fan getting down there after the curse catch, jogging down the field with all three of your timeouts and a minute and a half left instead of two and having to call one as soon as curse catches it?
Yep.
Wouldn't you have felt pretty good with three timeouts and a minute left? Like,
instead he calls it and there's two left and they use one after Marshawn Lynch gets stacked up at the one.
No. They didn't use one. That's when they called the play. The clock was still running.
Was it?
Yeah, because then that's when the clock was still running when that play, because that's when everybody was turned around, looked at Belichick and said, why aren't you calling the timeout? Because the clock was running, running, running.
All right, so I was a little jazzed up when this is going on, so I might have missed this.
Okay.
All right. So you're telling me then they stack them up at the 1-yard line.
And nobody calls a timeout.
And nobody calls a timeout. Clock keeps running to that play.
Correct.
Because Carroll says that was a throwaway play.
He said it was a throwaway play. It was second down.
Yep, throwaway play. Hey, if he doesn't make it, if he doesn't make it, if he gets it, we get a touchdown.
Here's the sequence.
But why would you throw it in a bunched area? Why would that be your first read?
Hold on. Here's the sequence. They throw the ball down to Curse. It looks like it's going to be an incomplete pass. It turns out it's completed. They call a timeout.
I think, you know what it is? They got excited. They got excited. Plain and simple. That catch shouldn't have been made. It was. It was a circus catch.
Then,
at that point, he didn't know what else to do but call a timeout.
Then, is that then you're calling it the exuberance of youth?
Yes.
Then I need you to hear me say that again.
Well, I don't know about youth. He is kind of up there, but yeah. Sure. No,
the exuberance of youth. Because he acts like he's young and his team is a bunch of kids.
He lost focus.
Okay.
That catch made him lose focus.
Say it again.
He lost focus.
All right. Because do you think that if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, if that had happened, what do you think the Patriots would have done?
Tom Brady is throwing his arm in the air and they're running down the field.
And they're getting on the
ball.
They're
running down the field and they're spiking that ball or they run a run play. Something. Something other than calling a timeout.
Okay.
They actually might even run a pass play.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, when they when they have set and in the tank at all times.
What have they been doing all season? They get the big play, and they run back to the line, and they run that quick snap run.
Yep.
Remember, we saw him. Remember how many times when we were at the Oakland game on week three, or week two or three, how many times did they run that they would complete a pass, run up to the line, and quick snap a running play, and it got stuffed every time.
Yep.
And we kept going, why do they keep running this? They did it all season long. And granted, that would have been the time to run it.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay.
Absolutely.
So they completely pee down their leg. They call a timeout.
Yep.
They run the ball from the 5-yard line. And by the way, on that catch, who was in coverage on Curse? Butler.
Yep.
Who had the presence of mind to knock him out of bounds. Yep. Or, you know, to get him out of bounds. Stop The clock stops. They knock him out of bounds. The clock stops.
No. The clock did not stop. Look at it again, because I remember in the moment we were watching it, Ahmed said they got him out of bounds. The referee kept his arm winded. The referee, I remember that specifically, and I'm like, nope, they didn't stop it.
No, wait. So check this out. So
yeah.
He catches the ball.
Yeah.
And he pops up. Now, the presence of mind,
yep.
Malcolm Butler,
yep.
pushes him out of bounds. Referee runs over and stops the clock.
I was thinking of a different play then. Right. I must have been.
But Russell Wilson, to his credit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, you see them taking his team running up to the line.
Correct.
But then it automatically starts to go to all the replays. And during, you know, for TV, and during the replays, that's when he calls timeout?
Yes.
Like, why?
There you go.
Has anybody asked him that?
No, with everybody's lost in all of this morass. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the other problem that you sort of run into.
Yep.
This is Seattle we're talking about. And forgive me for this,
yep.
but they don't have the audience to answer to like you would in New York or Boston.
Okay.
All right? In all seriousness.
No, you're right.
You have to answer to your mistakes here.
Absolutely. You are held accountable
Valentine.
Every little mistake.
Okay?
We knew that was a mess from the start. We knew it.
But still has to answer for this stuff. Yep. So... apparently,
Valentine.
They still call a timeout. Now they have one timeout.
So they call a timeout with the clock stopped and with his team putting themselves in a position to run a play.
Correct. And they can clock it.
Yep.
If they want
if to. They want
but they
to.
Don't even need to.
They don't need to.
Now, all they need to do,
yep.
Pete Carroll's waiting to see. His explanation for this is they're waiting to see what sort of personnel the Patriots send out onto the field. But the Patriots...
kept everybody out there, right?
Well, interestingly enough, what the Patriots decided to do was split their jumbo, and this is actually what Darrell Revis said. Revis knows that goal line needs to come in. He starts jogging off. They say, stay. And he says, no, goal line, and kind of shrugs his shoulders, and they went, no. Goal line, three corners. And he went, goal line, three corners. And he said, yep, okay. And that's the defensive package.
Yep. For the Marshawn Lynch run.
Correct. So they go out there, they're on the 6-yard line, and boom, they stuff Marshawn Lynch.
At the one.
At the one.
At the one.
At the one.
At the one. He gained 5 yards.
Clock is moving.
Yep.
Clock is moving.
Which is fine for them.
Which is fine.
Which is fine, exactly, man. They got the timeouts.
Now, even Nate Silver, a guy who I respect a great deal, who works now, unfortunately, for ESPN, who I haven't watched since I told you I wasn't going
to. No, it's tough. I've tried to a couple of times since we've talked.
Not doing
and
it.
And I can't do it, man.
No.
Not more than 3 minutes, and they're already talking that crap, and I got to change the channel.
Yeah, and
it's unfortunate.
And Trent Dilfer's trying to kind
Stuart
of dig
up. Stuart Scott is not a happy guy.
No, it's funny you'd say that. But yeah, so here's the play call. And apparently what Pete Carroll says... is, all right, throw it.
Yeah.
What's the throw? They can do a back corner fade. Mm-hmm. They can do a square out. They can do what they try.
They run that inside slant where they run the pick.
Yeah.
Three wide receivers on one side.
Now, little did anybody know, and here's where I'm going to drop a couple of stats on you, but I'm going to drop a little knowledge first.
Yep. Drop some knowledge, son.
This week in practice, Jimmy Garoppolo played the role.
Jimmy G.
Played the role of Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Josh Boyce played the role of the guy standing second in line in that stack formation.
Yes.
And burned Malcolm Butler.
Multiple times.
On that exact play.
Multiple times in practice.
Multiple times, correct. It's a rub route, it's called.
Yep.
And apparently they call that Halo. That's the name of that play call for Seattle, Halo. And burned Malcolm Butler on that play. And Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh Boyce got on his case and said, you can't get burned on that. And basically told him, it's a 5-yard race to an X between you and that guy right there.
Yep.
You see this formation.
That's the only thing they run out of that
formation.
That's
the only thing they're going to run.
So there's no deception there. If they're in that, that's the play that they're running.
Because if the guy peels away... Yep. This guy's going to go over and cover the
guy deep. Regardless of who the ball's going to, that is the play.
That's your spot.
Yep.
Race your guy to that spot.
Yep.
Now, could the throw have been back shoulder? Yeah.
That was the only thing I said when I said that when someone asked me about it. I'm like, the only other place that Russell Wilson could put that ball
his back shoulder, but not everybody can make those catches. Say he goes and turns his body to the opposite side, it hits off his shoulder, now it's popped up in the air. Then what happens?
Exactly. Now, maybe not the highest percentage pass. What do you think? Maybe passing from the 1 yard line, a big mistake? Well,
it's a mistake, but I mean, you could justify that.
Or is it?
You can justify that.
Okay, you ready for this? Marshawn Lynch, although he was moving the ball quite well.
Yes.
5 times this year he ran the ball inside the 1 yard.
Only once did he score a touchdown.
One time he scored a touchdown.
Yep. When everybody gears up on the line and puts their ears back and focuses all 11 guys on Marshawn, it's very tough, regardless of who you are, to get past your lineman and their lineman to score that 1 yard touchdown.
One time.
Yep.
This year.
Once.
1 out of 5 times. Now, if they had given it to him 2 times inside there, and could he have fallen forward for a yard? Maybe.
Sure, which is, by the way, Pete Carroll's plan. According to him, was that was a throwaway play. Hey, if he catches it, great. If it's an incomplete pass, it's whatever. I'm going to run it the next 2 downs. So he said as much.
Okay.
3rd and 4th, Marshawn was getting the ball.
Okay. That pass passes inside the 1 yard line. In the last 108 pass attempts in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
from inside the 2 yards.
Right. Okay, the 2. All right.
Not one interception.
Okay.
And 67% of the time, they are completed for a touchdown.
Okay.
67% and 108 times.
I'm not staggered by that stat.
Of course you're not. That's why it's not a bad call. Is that a high percentage pass? 67% of the time, it's completed for a touchdown.
That means it's a high percentage pass.
Is it a dangerous pass? Not necessarily. 108 times, it hasn't been intercepted once.
I'd say it's dangerous only because of the situation.
Of the place he threw it. And the fact that they don't run anything else off of that side.
So there's no deception involved. Which is what I said. I said, if you're going to pass it, give me a play action.
So now...
roll out.
And now let's roll back a little bit. And now the reason why I brought all of that stuff up about that whole last drive.
What happened prior to that?
Why? Because you started to see a systematic breakdown of what happens when it counts.
You rock focus.
You rock focus. You do not understand.
Simple as that.
And you are great in OTAs. You run an excellent camp. You have a family-like atmosphere. You can get a team excellent preparation for
everything. You've won a Super Bowl.
You have won
a
Super Bowl.
So you can show that you have what it takes
to do it.
You have
a passionate fan base.
Yep.
You have wonderful talent.
Sure.
But you know what? When you had pocket aces...
you limped. You limped in and gave someone an opportunity to catch.
And
that's what happened.
Exactly what happened.
Nice, nice way. You can break anything down in life to polka. Absolutely. But exactly. That's, you hit the nail on the head.
You know, and...
yeah, they limped in with aces and they got beat.
And with that, Eric and I are going to take just a couple of seconds. We're going to be right back, but... the one reason why we're going to take a quick couple of seconds is because everybody in Boston tomorrow, we need to make sure that you stay safe while you're out there, have a great time at the parade or the duck boats, and have some fun dancing in the streets.
Woo! Ah, yeah. Woo-hoo!
We'll be dancing.
Listen to that guitar.
Is that Mr. Ocean?
That's Eddie Van Halen, buddy. But this is Eric and Ted at Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And I'm Ted.
No, you're not. That's Eric and I'm Ted. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Click subscribe.
Oh, make sure you do. Now, Eric.
We're gonna put this puppy to bed.
We have an important puppy that needs to be put to bed.
Yeah, so the one thing that we need to... address, if you will, is the,
I guess,
these professionals.
Or lack thereof.
Lack thereof. Yeah. And they're absolutely absurd take on some things.
You know what? I'm going to come in with an audio clip, and I'm going to let both Trent Dilfer and Eric reply to it.
Now, it's not a matter of everyone else breaking them. You got caught. If that's what the jury says... then that will change your legacy.
And that's Chris Carter,
because you do have an advantage if you are playing without the knowledge of a smaller ball than the opposition is playing with, especially in inclement weather. Especially in inclement weather, a smaller ball helps.
I think that's subjective. I think two things. I agree with you that this league's based on rules, and that it doesn't matter if other people are bending them as well, as me and you both know they are. If they get caught...
No, I don't know that. No, I don't know that.
Wait, that one got me.
Don't know
what.
I don't know that other people are bending the rules.
Really?
You don't know that teams have stashed players on IR for years because they can pay more for the salary cap, that their practice habits, they're doing one-on-one pass rush drills in the offseason when they're not supposed to, that they're constantly testing the boundaries of NFL rules.
Right, there are different ways to go about
exactly
trying to get a slight edge.
I do have a problem with this. A smaller ball, because it has 2 PSI less in it, is not as wild as a competitive advantage as you made out to sound.
Well, for me, I caught a lot of balls, and I think it's a huge difference. It's just a difference in opinion. I respect your opinion.
Exactly.
All right?
I just think...
If I catch a ball that's 10-1, 10-5, it makes a huge difference in being 12-5.
Yeah. And I think tonight, one of the conversations I heard going into tonight's game was that, what if he doesn't throw the ball well? What if receivers drop it? What if they fumble the ball? Because we know tonight's balls fit the regulation.
Right. 108 of them.
He broke the completion record. He was as precise as he's ever been.
Oh, no kidding.
They didn't drop any balls.
Wow.
And they didn't fumble any balls.
Oh, no kidding.
So I don't think their ability to perform has anything to do with the pressure in a football.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, it was perfect conditions. I'll give you that. And maybe the argument around this is bad weather, a softer ball being easier. But I think they kind of stamp the whole ball issue that this ball is just as easy to throw as that other ball they played with against Indianapolis.
Now, that was obviously Trent Dilfer throwing a backhand right off of Chris Carter's
face.
Now, Trent Dilfer...
because he's so indignant, and I think that's really where it's aggravating me, is Chris Carter is so indignant with his point of view on this.
Well, Chris Carter... now, I guess a couple of years ago at one of the Super Bowls on Radio Row, I guess he had a problem. Did you know about the thing about with WEEI?
No.
He got in a verbal altercation with a couple of guys on WEEI.
Okay.
And refused from that point on to ever go on Boston Sports Radio again.
Okay.
And
He's
got a real beef against
Boston. He's got an axe to grind.
Yeah. Against like sort of our media market.
Sure.
But,
which isn't the easiest to deal with, but they know what they're doing.
Ted Williams couldn't
deal with it.
They
know their stuff.
Yeah. So that's one. I don't know if he has any other axe to grind with it.
Other than the fact that he has zero Super Bowls?
Well, and then you take into account the other thing is controversy builds ratings.
Yep.
He works for a company in ESPN, owned by ABC,
Disney,
owned by Disney, whatever. But ESPN has thrived for the last 2 weeks on this thing.
Yeah.
Now, remember how overreported this thing was.
Okay? Remember?
Yeah. Now, how...
If there was still football going on, it would still be overly reported right now.
Well, it's kind of died a little bit.
Of course.
Well, why has it died?
Well, because there's no more football to be played, and now everybody's going to wait for Roger Goodell to get on this and issue his statement or the third-party impartial investigator... or his statement. So it's going to die down for a little bit. And by the way, the Patriots won the Super Bowl with regulation balls. So it's going to die down for a little bit.
Or perhaps this brief article citing Adam Schefter
okay.
As a source from the Sports Grind.
Good, reliable source.
Adam Schefter on Balghazi, because I'm not saying the other.
Nope.
NFL struggling to find evidence. May not.
You don't. I'm not kidding.
Oh. Mm. Surprise, surprise. The super cops over at the NFL are having a hard time finding evidence.
It's tough to find evidence when there is none.
Speaking on SportsCenter today, NFL insider Adam Schefter seems to believe that Bill Belichick's claims that he has never talked to any player, staff member, or anybody else about any air pressure in a football. Anybody who watches this press conference this morning would come away saying he didn't know anything about air pressure, Schefter said. So the NFL...
Of course he didn't. He's the head coach.
The NFL has nothing.
Thing. Right. They have more. There is more out there, and we said this before, there's more out there suggesting that they didn't do anything with the balls than there is that they did.
There's actually now more suggesting that the NFL allowed a game to kick off
without knowing the pressure on those balls.
Now, not only that, knowingly expecting the balls to be underway.
Yes, yes. So that's the intent is as bad as if it really was deflated from the get-go.
Yeah.
They were expecting it for whatever reason. They were hoping for it.
And then allowed it.
That's the only explanation as to why.
Without informing either team.
Yep.
And.
How would you feel about that if you were the Colts?
They don't log the air pressure.
Nope. Why wouldn't they?
They don't write
it down.
If
it's so important.
Oh, I know.
It's so integral.
To the
wouldn't there be a lot? Wouldn't there be a log?
I know. Wouldn't they write that down?
Or maybe because it's arbitrary. Maybe it's just there so balls don't come out like really deflated.
Oh, I don't know. Is that that's good, yeah. Or maybe
Jesus Christ.
Or maybe maybe if Chris Mortensen's original report of 11 out of 12 being vastly underinflated is completely and totally wrong. And the report that was out a couple of days ago that says they were, quote, a couple of ticks underweight.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be a factor. And maybe
the thing, everything that came out through this was all conjecture, speculate. None of it was fact. And that is so irresponsible of the NFL to allow that to happen. They're not the media, but the NFL never once came out and said, look, all these reports that are coming out, dude, these are unsubstantiated.
You said allow. They leaked it.
Yes, okay, all
they
right.
They leaked it.
They did more
than allow.
Right, they did more than just allow.
How does Mortensen get his info?
Yep.
How does Glazer get his info? How does Schefter get his info?
Because these are not guys, because I know not everybody knows these yet, but these are not guys that are going to make up a story in hopes of getting it right in the end. They're not.
No.
They're not. I don't think I've ever seen these guys be more wrong. So that information came from somewhere.
And Roger Goodell, in his press conference, we talked about it on our last show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No, I don't know.
Hey, Roger, has any game in history
has he looked ever, into it? Have I gotten an answer on that?
We haven't gotten
because he
answer.
Said he was gonna, right?
Oh, but no, you know, but he actually, one of the other things too, and as irritating as I find it that Marshawn Lynch has to be out there to answer questions, he was asked a question about Marshawn Lynch and refused to answer it, which I thought was kind of ironic.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And if you want to see the last thing that I thought was real funny about the Super Bowl presentation, the trophy, if that wasn't coldly received by Robert Kraft took the trophy, didn't make eye contact. Roger Goodell immediately turned around and walked off the stage.
Yep.
I've never seen the commissioner
shouldn't
leave.
He had no business being there.
And the other guy who had no business being there?
Kurt Warner?
Renowned Patriots hater, Kurt Warner.
Okay, and the same Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer. No?
It was ridiculous. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
He had just fresh out the oven coming out with the... Well, now the Super Bowl I lost 14 years ago is suspect.
Yep,
should be questioned. Like now, I'm wondering if I should feel slighted. You know, maybe we should have won that Super Bowl 14 years ago.
Yeah, but he says that every year anyway.
14 years ago, man.
And then
he's the one that brings the trophy out. Or how about having John Harbaugh on the panel in the pregame?
By the way, John Harbaugh,
talk about impartial. I
loved John Harbaugh did have a great line when he picked the winner. He said, I think it's going to be the Patriots because if you can beat the Baltimore Ravens, you can beat anybody.
Really? I missed that. Really,
dude? That was how he made his pick. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, the and you know, here's the, and my final word on all of this stuff, and oh, and I'm sorry, one last thing here about the trophy presentation. They had to restart that CD like four times as Kurt Warner was bringing it up because the Patriots kind of slowed him down. So that awkward, terrible look on Kurt Warner's face, like he was just eating a bowl of
whose balls. Idea was that?
I don't care, but whoever
did it he was, volunteer? I mean, who thought, hey, let's get the guy that just 2 days earlier was putting out there that they were probably cheating during his Super Bowl too, and why he lost. Sour grapes. Why on earth would he even be there?
You know, I would have loved that.
Why? Because it's in Arizona?
Yeah.
Is that why? Well, yeah, that's got to be why, right? Sure. It's in Arizona.
Well, why? Then you know what? You should have given it to Dan Dierdorf, who played for the Cardinals.
There you go.
And he's in the Hall of Fame, there you too. Go. And that guy doesn't know how to shut up.
But
Robert Kraft, on the stage, starts talking about how in 2001 it was a great time because right after 9/11.
Yeah, it was needed. Really, yeah, you know, really kind important. Of a great we're all thing. Patriots.
We're all Patriots and stuff. And he says, and, you know, Patriots fans, this one means just as much, and you know why.
Yep.
And that could not have been a better way.
That resonated.
Better way.
That was the big middle finger. They might as well have everybody just put up the Freedom Rockets right up in the air as they're presenting the trophy.
But
straight into the camera.
But we wouldn't put Freedom Rockets up to you, dear loyal listeners. Because
no.
We love African Ted's Ice Cream Social listeners more than you love yourselves.
So in short, Balghazi is bull.
The Patriots are the best team in the NFL.
Pete Carroll's not as crazy as people think for calling that play.
No.
Watch everything that happens other than the bigger plays because you find the stuff on the inside. It's always not the last play. It's the plays that precede it.
Correct.
Anything else?
It's only a penalty when the referee throws a flag.
Right. And it's only cheating if you have proof
that somebody cheated.
Right. Oh, my God. So it's been a long season. It's been a fun season. We've had a blast.
We can't tell you how much
this NFL season.
Isn't this been great, man?
Maybe next year we'll actually keep track of the wins and losses when we make our picks.
Yeah, man, we just got to put like...
I'm pretty sure I won by like 50, but that's just me spitballing here.
Yeah, it's like, or as Doug Baldwin, you were shitballing. Yeah.
So, you know, but that opens up the doors for us for many other things, people. We're talking about hockey. We're talking about 2 weeks pitches and catches report.
Oh, man.
So baseball's here, much to the chagrin of my co-host, Mr. Thaddeus. Will be talking about basketball.
Oh!
Yes, we will.
Oh, my God. Not all right, I'll bring yet, a though. Book.
Not hopefully a book on basketball.
Right?
I think we had a great NFL season. Glad you're all stuck with it. And hopefully your followers on and for the rest of the year.
All right. And again, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And check out our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
iTunes, Eric and Ted's Social. Subscribe, people.